Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Hey, everybody.
Brian Brushwood.
Hello, beautiful people.
Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you a difficult question. I want you to imagine that in front of you is a business card. Okay?
Yep.
One says, Brian Prescott Brushwood. We don't know why. You just were the printer and you had a little bit of anxiety. And you said, Prescott is the middle name now.
Sure.
Okay? And Justin Baudelaire Young. Okay, whatever. You got your name. You got your business cards, all
right? Right.
What goes below them? What is your... What do you do? How do you define yourselves?
Well, you know, I think that is an interesting question. And I remember the first time that I was able to put... It was like maybe I was going to the doctor or something or a dentist. And they like I was a new place and I was like filling out my occupation. And I was able to have like writer be there. I think it was when I was like writing Nitrix and everything. And like I remember I felt that was a good thing. I think now on Twitter I have like writer and yeller as my two kind of job identifiers. So I would say, you know, now probably like I guess this is part of the reason why I don't have a business card because I don't know what I would put on it. I would suspect that if I really wanted to get serious about it, oh, and I have host at BitTorrent News ? If I really wanted to get serious about it, then I would probably have different ones for different applications. I mean, I would think that you know, I would have game designer for when I go to Gen Con, and I would have, you know, podcast host or new media host for when I was at conventions in general. Probably something like that.
So,
Brian?
I can't remember where I heard it, but somebody was, I'm almost certain this is from one of the autobiographical books that I've read recently, but somebody expressed the notion when they're looking at, for example, a list of who's who at TED Talks, that the more things the people say they've done, the less interested this person is in their talk. Like basically, you know, oh, you did this once, did that once, did the other thing once. And I am super, super guilty of it because if you look at when I first started, you know, I made up the category of bizarre magic, which is a tough thing to sell to a lot of people in colleges. What I should say is I make hundreds of people show up to events and love me or whatever, you know, speak directly to benefits. But I think now my Twitter bio, like at some point it just got funny how big it is because it is my insecurity laid bare. My insecurity is to wrap myself in a blanket of words and things you know so that I can't possibly be a not worth person to listen to, which is why my Twitter bio says, host of Scam School for Discovery and Hacking the System for Nat Geo. Two Billboard number one comedy albums, Eats Fire, Sticks, Nails, and Knives, Jackass, and Pro Dancer. Hopefully that was fun for you. So I don't know if I'm doing a disservice to myself by trying to shout all the things I do all of the time, because between those lines is an admission that I don't think I have the presence that, like, 5 years from now, would love it if it just says, Brian Brushwood, Modern Rogue. Like, that's all you need to know.
And what does Modern Rogue mean?
Well, I mean, hopefully it's the most successful property that I do, and it's an apt and catchy descriptor of who and what I am.
I'm in the TED conference talking to you. You know, we're in the hallway.
Yeah,
I'm like modern. Are you a homeless person? Are you a?
This is the other question. Is you're right because
I'm Elon Musk. I'm Elon Musk.
You know, the answer is you'll find out. Like if
you meet, you know, you bump into Elon Musk and say, oh, hello. And you're like, oh, hello. And like, and what do you do?
I'm like, eh, this is me.
You put your hands on your hips, proudly stick out your chest. And I go, I'm a modern rogue.
I mean, I wish. Right. So it's tough because,
Would you like that you are a modern rogue or that it's youtube.com/modern rogue?
I don't even know. Here's what I know is when I got started real fast, I realized people who I respected in Magic did not have a card with their name on one side, and then you flipped it over, the words perfect for birthday parties, weddings, masters of ceremonies, bat mitzvahs, bar mitzvahs, brises,
executions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and then 87 things, you know, dancing, blah, blah, blah. All that says, like, when I glanced at that, all I read was wants work, right? Yeah. And then on the flip side, my friend Gene Naftulev handed me his business card. And all it says, there's no phone number, there's no anything. He says, let me give you my card. And he handed it to me, and it just says, Gene Naftulev, legitimate businessman. That's all that was on there. And there was something so metal about that, something that just broadcasted, you know, call me if you think you need me. But also, you're going to have to figure out how to get a hold of me.
Yeah. Which in some circles is cool. To other circles, they'd be like, arrogant, don't need to deal with this guy too. That's the challenge, is that, you know, we figure out our business card sort of in a vacuum, and then we find ourselves, you know, in a, you know, situation where you're talking to the president of NPR or whatever. You're like, oh God, I'm gonna look like the biggest flake in the world. Oh, but the good news is I've already accepted that I am.
Yeah, right.
I have my card, I never knew what to put on my card. I put Magic and Mischief.
Which I think is accurate. It conveys – mine was always Bizarre Magician because I wanted to convey that I do a magic show, but also convey, please don't book me for birthday parties.
Yeah. So my brother used to get great amusement out of, you know, we'd be somewhere, you know, and meet some friends. He's like, oh, tell them what you do. How do you describe what you do? And this would be like back when I was working for the James Randi Foundation, you know, and like, hey, how do you describe what you do? You know, because he was amusing for him because one was trying to sort of describe that. But then, you know, now it's that we've started using the term creative, and I find myself in the situation where like, people are like, well, what do you do? And it's like, what today? And I'll have an answer. But that comment you mentioned, you know, about, you know, the TED Talk thing where somebody says the more number of things they do, the less interested, that there's truth to that. Painful truth to that. That's the kind of thing that, you know, when I hear somebody go, oh, I'm a serial entrepreneur, and I'm like, I don't think I've heard of how many of your companies were really successful exits and how many of them were just a bunch of companies you started and you gave up on.
Let's play this game. Let's run around Twitter and see how people we respect define themselves in their one line bio.
Elon Musk already open.
Yeah, okay, so Elon Musk, right? So Elon Musk says Tesla, SpaceX, tunnels, and OpenAI. I mean, that's pretty legit. How do you feel about when people define themselves like father, fan of Spaceballs, and loves punching?
Well, I think that there is a difference on Twitter between people who are there to read and participate and there to market, right? And on some level, we are all here to this is our business. And for Elon Musk, like, where his tweets can be looked at as something that has to be filed in SEC reports.
Sure.
You know.
So like, what about I'm seeing Baratunde Thurston in the folks we know. It says Baratunde's somebody I respect a lot. He says, formerly of The Daily Show and The Onion, co-founder of Cultivated Wit and Show About Race, board Build National. That seems pretty legit.
And so there, yeah. I mean, what you're seeing is he's listing a lot of what you were saying, which was that, all right, well, here are things that you know that therefore can convey worth to me now, even whether I'm with them or I'm not with them.
Yeah. So do you say what you do or who you are on your business card? And also, what do you use your business card for?
That's the other thing is, you know, I've always got a bunch of different projects that I'm either, you know, a principal in or advising on or part of or whatever. And it's that dicey sort of thing. And I kind of just settle on the Magic and Mischief one, but it's like, I've been in situations where, you know, I talk to one person, I'm like, well, I need to tell them I'm an author. I talk to somebody else, like, I need to tell them I produce TV. In other words, like, I need to tell them I'm a magician. And then, you know, they're so, like, oh, there's three interesting people there.
can I tell you a true story? Is that I have business cards, but the only reason I have them is so I could do business card related tricks. And all it has is the toll free, you know, 866-EAT-FIRE and Brian@Schwood.com, which are all publicly available. Ashwood on Twitter. But then blank backs. Oh, look, you're holding one right now, right? So I could do magic tricks with them. If I in the moment know that I'm encountering somebody who I think has some value, what I'll do is I always, even if I do have those cards on me, I'm like, I've got cards, but they're garbage, but I don't want you to become an unperson to me. So do me a favor, just let me send you a text of all my information. And they will give me their phone number, and I will open it up, and it's always the same template. Hey, person's name, it's me, Brian Brushwood, giving my full name. It was really fun hanging out at place we currently are right at this moment. And I can't believe you also like subject we talked about, period. Can't wait to chat with you again in the future, comma, I'm at Brian@Schwood.com, XOXO Brian Brushwood. And then that does two things. First of all, the act of doing that makes a moment, if not for them, and maybe they don't give a rat's ass about who I am, but we live in the moment and we remember what we focus on for extended periods of time. And so in that moment, I am essentially whispering to myself, I think this person's worth it. I think this person's worth it. I think this person's worth it. And so, and the best part is later when I get a random text from them, I will not have their name in the contacts because I'll just see like some number says a thing and I'll go. But in my history, it will say as a clue, just as much for them as it is for me, says, hey, full name of the person. It's me, Brian Brushwood. Glad we're talking about blank at this thing. And it's something that feels that is not disingenuous. It feels authentic because it is an authentic moment at that time, but it has the massive, massive benefit of telling future Brian why past Brian thought it was worth putting this guy in his phone.
Yeah. I try to do just, hey, let me send you a text back and forth with somebody that I like doing that because if it's somebody I really want to talk to, it creates a dialogue. We start a conversation going. It's in the text. It's not the intent to have a conversation. It is a conversation, which is certainly helpful. But it, I guess the kind of the broader point I was getting to is just the idea of I remember having conversations with Justin 10 years ago about where was the world going because, you know, 10 years ago, YouTube had been around for a year. Twitter had been born. You were starting to see media. You started to see the idea that networks meant less, that studios don't really, unless it's Disney or Marvel, the name of a studio doesn't mean as much anymore. And then we talk about the age of the producer, you know, the person whose name was on there, like in rap and like in, you know, in music in particular, like the name of the kind of the super producer or that is the brand, like the individual brand kind of thing. And now it's like, okay, how you define yourself often relates to how you get paid. And for me, that can change every 2 years or so, depending upon what I'm doing. And, you know, I fall back into that, well, that writer or creative role, but man, that doesn't really narrow it down.
Well, and that's definitely why you and I both know that I'm somebody who's very, very friendly on Twitter. And for many people, they will see, oh, Brian's following me now. Who is Brian? So I think it is important for those people for him to be like, oh, I do know him from that. I also saw him in that. Never heard of that other thing, but whatever. And wait, a dancing thing? Hi, I'm a guy who you have seen before, and this is me coyly standing in front of you saying, would you like to be friends? Also, here are some suggested topics that we can instantly start having a discussion on. And, you know, some people are instantly intrigued, and we start chatting. Other people are not. And that's fine either way. So, but I don't know what to do with that in terms of business cards, though.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of trying to get beyond the business card, but just the idea of like that you started off that very poignant talk or mention of the person at, you know, the TED thing about the more you do, the less credible you are. And I think that I know that, you know, one of my problems is that because I try to do a number of things, I'm probably not as effective in one particular thing. And sometimes I can't, you know, I can only spend so much time working on one sort of area, or so I convince myself, but maybe that's not the case.
So, okay, so let's play a little betting game, because Twitter profiles are as close to business cards as we see nowadays. Somebody like Madonna could say, author, original material girl, hosted on this, married to so-and-so, mother of blanks, new children's book coming soon, doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo. Or she could just write music. If you were going to bet which one she took, what would it be? Keep in mind, I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean that's and also it's like what a publicist wrote, but also she's a person everybody knows. Well, that's not us. We're assuming when we go into a serious situation, we're a complete stranger to somebody. So if you're Madonna or you're Jimmy Fallon or whatever like that, you say something funny or quippy because everybody knows who you are. For us. Yeah. We have to say, like, we already have an idea of who they are. People have no idea who we are. So it's like, okay, how do we, you know, that I guess, and I don't know, not to negate your question, but I'm saying, like, for us, it's like, how do we solve that problem? You know, like, what is, because you walk in, you're on the floor of TED, you're in front of Elon Musk, and you're like, what do you want his impression of you to be?
Do you know what? This is actually something I've worked on over the years, where, and it ends up being a semi-interesting 27-second vignette. But somebody asks, like, what do you do? And my answer is always, man, that was easy 10 years ago. I toured with the magic show where I ate fire and stuck nails in my eyes. Now it's all complicated. I do internet videos. I hosted a TV show. I don't know. I guess I just say entertainer nowadays. And then that tends to be my 23-second pitch. What about you, Justin? Do you have a like when somebody says, "What do you do?"
I generally try to play to the crowd, like because I'm sensitive to the idea that I do a lot of stuff, but I don't really like. There's not one thing that I'm like a world beater in. You know, I think that there's a lot of small wins, but not a lot of like gigantic wins. So, if I'm at Gen Con, I'm a card designer, and if somebody knows me from my podcast, then cool, that's bonus. If I'm at a convention or something, then I'm there for the thing that we're going to be doing later that night, like a podcast or something like that. So, you know, I would say in wherever I'm at, if this is a business interaction, then I try to only give the one thing I think they are going to be most interested in. If it's a social interaction where we're talking about, you know, just what we do for work, then yeah, then you can give the rundown of like, well, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess I sell stickers, but I also do a card game, but I also am a independent podcaster, but I also do these other like videos for hire and like host work and stuff like that. So, in general, I assume that we are now in a world where there's infinite bandwidth, where everybody can and should be doing a million different things. However, it doesn't help to list all million of them. You know, and similarly,
how douchebaggy is it in a world where it matters less what you do and who you are? How douchebaggy is it to define who you are? Like, imagine you meet somebody and they're like, oh, hey, cool. It's really cool to meet you. Well, this is me. And it just says category, subculture, commentary. And then you see numbers of followers on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or whatever. Like, is that gross nowadays, or is that the merging reality of who we are?
I think it depends. You know, if you're at something in some influencer event in LA, and you know, you're talking to the person that controls the new media spending for a Procter & Gamble, then yeah, having those metrics on hand could be the difference of you scoring a gig and not, right? But for me, especially because, you know, there's not a ton of numbers that are like, you know, like gaudy, like knock your ass off exciting for me. Like, you know, it's more just about exactly what the targeted skill set is.
Hypothetical question. So, I would say that I don't think any of us has really come up with a this is the best answer. We've had our answers, but I don't know that we have any this is what you need to do. We just explain how we sort of adapt to it.
But I'm not joking when I say I long for the simpler days. Like, it was a great 10-year run where anyone could ask what I do, and I knew exactly how to sell my show in the duration from floors 3 through 7. And then we're done, and we're off the elevator, and you now know I'm a nutty guy who eats fire and sticks nails in his eyes. Like, that's great and comforting and simple, and also not how reality works. I mean, you know, is Steve Martin a musician or a director or an actor or what? You know, it's like eventually he just becomes Steve Martin.
Yeah. What do you want your card to say 2 years from now?
I mean, it's cocky to think this way, but I'm going to give you a jokey answer that does encapsulate the sentiment that I think I would like. I would like to see, hand out a card. It just says Brian Brushwood, and then underneath it says, yeah, comma, that one. Like, that's all is right. That too much to ask?
Sounds perfectly rational, Brian.
Okay. What about you guys?
Yeah, what about you, Andrew?
Oh, no, it's not. That's not how this game works. My problem is at any given time, there are probably one of three things I really, really want to be doing a couple years from now. So that's the problem. You know, you asked me this morning, I'll give you one answer. Ask this afternoon, I'll give you a different one. But yes, I do like the idea. I'm charmed with the idea because there are things that I do because I love to do them. There are things I do because, well, this is how I make my money, you know, and I'm very fortunate that all of them tend to be creative pursuits, but there is that, all right, is the thing on my card the thing that I want to be thought of or the thing that I'm doing, you know, to pay the bills? And that's the problem, you know, is to figure out, like, what is that one thing? I mean, I love writer, but not having to explain myself. You know, when I'm a writer and they're like, and I'm in LA and I am, you know, a stone's throw from everybody claiming they're a writer. And so it's kind of like, it's not a real way to differentiate yourself. So I kind of tend to use, you know, I'm a novelist, and I will quickly, you know, if you played video of me introducing myself to other people, it would make me cringe. It would absolutely make me cringe because of how much I try to blurt out, you know, in the first 20 seconds of just trying to justify who I am and why I exist. It's pathetic. So,
to be honest, I don't like business cards, and I would prefer to not have one. Like, in.
Yeah, but how do you prove that you predicted the exact imaginary lunch they were going to eat?
Yeah.
Doy. In the scenario described.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think it doesn't seem to me like the most powerful people in the world need business cards, I guess.
Well, yeah, but you had to get there. So, all right, my last question before I release you all is, you get the phone call. Hey, yeah, I'm the booker for TED. Somebody told me I should have you do a talk. I know Ted's cool again. Don't worry. And my question is, it was a napkin. Your name was on the napkin. Everything else is running. I don't remember who it was, but they're very excited about you. What exactly is your talk on, Mr. Brian Prescott Brushwood?
You know, what's interesting is you just inspired me to maybe get a set of business cards that say something totally different. Like, So I have a toll-free service called Grasshopper that I use to pretty much all the options forward up to my cell phone eventually.
Are you going to get to what your talk is about?
No. I'm sorry. I'm diverting. I'm pressing pause. But I wonder if you're looking to make an impression you couldn't get away with, just as you casually, socially always do, say, you know, oh, this is me, blah, 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 and it's got a name on it, and you hand it over, and then say, but then later, those weeks or months later, when people go through their cards, they found a card that just says, you have no memory of receiving this card, period. Call this number to go on a quest to find out why. And then, as this artifact where it's like, well, yeah, well, I guess I'll call and the person will explain. But instead, it's this nested phone tree thing of just like, all right, tell me, were you in an Aztec temple? Was it press one? Were you in a whatever? So like create an under the surface adventure.
An alternate reality game.
Yes, exactly. Turn your card into an ARG is what I'm saying. That would be fun. But anyway.
For who?
What's that?
For who?
Dude, all I know is that the more layers I add to the toll-free thing, the more thankful and laughing people are by the time they actually get a hold of me. Full stop. Without exception.
But that's a very specific thing. Like, yes, that what you just described would be great if you were like, to the Scam School audience or the Modern Rogue audience, remember, you can call me at any time if you just dial like 1-8-8-7-EAT-FIRE, right? Or whatever your number is. Like
866
EAT-FIRE.
They
went through this thing and now it's added entertainment and excitement. And then eventually they get to you or they don't get to you, but it's fun to do it. I don't know if that would be great for a business card though, right? Where people are just like, oh, great. Yeah, I have a theater open. I would like to book Brian for a theater gig. And it's like, did you meet in a vampire killing society? Press one.
Although that'd be pretty badass too. I don't know, depending on what you're
cool
selling.
For you, it's great in abstract. It's probably not cool if it's like, oh yeah, I guess that's $10,000 and a theater gig performance in Chicago that then, now I don't get because somebody got frustrated in your
fair
phone.
Fair enough.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think. I would probably pick what the most interesting observation I've had about the most impressive achievement is, right? You know,
do a talk about me is flattering, Justin, but it's about you.
It would. Now I'd talk all about Andrew and his empire. You know, so I think that would be my answer, right? And I guess like now that would. You know, that would probably be, as of now, the thing that people beyond me find the most interesting about me is probably the contender now and the Kickstarter thing. And like that's what people talk to me the most about, asking me my advice on the most.
Ryan, it's your TED talk.
It's tough. I would say the most interesting thing I've ever done in my entire life. If I was going to give another TED talk, it would be.
No, we're talking TED, Brian, not TEDx. TED.
I know.
TED.
I know. But
press on. I'm proud of you doing the TEDx, by the way. But I was just gonna, you know, really squeeze you.
No. I think that it is the story of recognizing emerging opportunities, getting in early enough, and finding your space for it, but I don't know how to say that. For example, as magicians, our job is not to fool people. Our jobs are to perpetually be figuring out where people can be fooled. And then whether you execute that job by making a trick that you sell to other people to fool them, or whether you corner the market to yourself and hold it and you're the one who fools them, there is no expectation that you are doing a trade that will be the same forever and ever and ever. And I feel like the internet is the same thing. I feel like this is why the three of us have all formed in this place, is because we're constantly looking for underserved markets and opportunities and twists of fate. For example, last night, and I forwarded a copy over to Justin, even with like our daughter, we figured out, we started doing something called the nurtured heart approach that we've talked about as a way to deal with somebody who's very intense and for whom punishment doesn't work really well. It really boils down to, when you think of it through as an economics thing, it's like, if your problem is that punishments don't work, then what you need to do is do what they call quantitative easing and increase the money supply on compliments, so that all of a sudden, since you can't punish, the worst thing you could do is give no compliments, and that feels like the lowest end of the tier. I guess what I'm saying is, like, our job is to perpetually be finding clever ways around things, which of course is the definition of a hacker, of a magician, of a comedian, of an observationist, of a show host. Anyway, it's a pretty bad business card and a bad pitch for TED, but I promise you it'll be a good show.
That is a pretty long TED Talk title.
Well, yeah. Also, and then I forgot to put asterisk. Also, the title of the TED Talk is the TED Talk by Chuck Tingle at the bottom.
Exactly. No. Up yours, Fiona Apple. You ain't got nothing on Brian's title word count.
I would say if I was to throw pitches at two of you and say what's most interesting to me about you all is with Brian, you're a guy that went from a road performer, which was an industry that had been around for hundreds of years that went through upheaval, and you transformed yourself into a pioneering podcaster and YouTuber. You're a guy that created, you know, took this brand of live entertainment and figured out, broke it down to what the core element to it was, and figured out how to turn that into an entirely new career, but yet feels exactly like what you're doing before.
So man, would it be accurate to say world traveler turned pioneering YouTuber?
Well, I mean, world traveler doesn't imply, I mean, were you just a guy who had money who went around the world? I would say you were a performer, a road performer. You were, you know, a traveling performer, you know, a
traveling performer turned
live
YouTube
performer
pioneer.
To YouTuber, you know.
Yeah, there.
You
know, yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah, something like that. And Justin, one of the many things that impresses me about you is that you can do a politics show where half the people don't hate you.
To be determined. But I think that there's something there, but that's harder to quantify, right? I mean, you know, I think that that's there's an element of trying to like talk about like how I go about stuff like that, but at the same time, it's like, you know, there's no real benefit right now. I mean, aside from like, I get to make a living, which is great, you know, but that's not, it's not really any big shakes in the world. A lot of people make a lot of livings on a lot of stuff.
Well, what about you?
Oh, gosh, how to ask your friends uncomfortable questions and turn it into a podcast.
Well, I mean, accurate, but I mean, if you only had 20 characters to put on your card, what would you put?
A business card. So, yeah. You know, I mean, there's a running theme through my stuff is how to BS your way into something or just create a body of work until something recognizes you, whether it's TV or publishing, you know, how to keep doing a thing like, you know, I don't know. It's a hard question. That's why I'm asking you.
I mean, I would say, you know, the two biggest things that I think are fascinating is both your resume as a performer and a creator in magic and all the names that you've been associated with, as well as being somebody that has been on television yourself, as well as, you know, and I think this is almost, you know, just as much as impressive is the journey from somebody that, you know, made yourself the kind of writer that is in, you know, has deals with several major publishers. You know, that's something that I think a lot of people don't understand, the journey from let me type stories on my computer to even posting them, let alone to take it where you've taken it. I think that's something that I think a lot of people, I'm sure, would love to hear more about and do when you do those Periscopes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly been the thing that's been the most interesting thing I think people found for me to say is to just sort of in stuff that seems blatantly obvious. It's just like how to just get out there and go do it until it gets traction. You know, how to learn fast and do that. But gentlemen, this has been a very insightful sort of thing. I think for our listeners, just hearing us struggle with these questions should
there were a couple questions in the chat. Did you want to take some questions in the chat?
Oh, sure. I didn't want to keep you guys, you know, pressed here, but I will absolutely.
No. We can.
We can.
I don't want to be falling down any slippery slope. So, like, let's.
So, what were our questions? So,
Stacy, and I think I might have lost it here, but she mentioned, how do you develop your personality?
I am going to say that that is one of those things that sort of, one, there's the genetics, 50% of it's what you're born with, and then the other part of it is who you are around. And I would say that I am a nicer guy. I am a nicer person because I know Justin Robert Young. And I mean that in all sincerity, because spending 10 years working, being friends with Justin, and both of us, I could in an abstract way always had an idea of what a good person did, but having a short temper, having many, many character flaws that we don't need to get into, trying to understand how to be that and practice what I always valued being a nice person, be that. But I would say that if any part of me looks like to be generous or kind or whatever that comes to its surface, a lot of that has to do with being around Justin and that, and saying, this is a person that sort of lives this. How do I be more like that?
Dude, I cannot count the number of times after asking Justin for advice that the phrase, well, whatever you do, don't. And then the next words are exactly what I was planning to do. And Justin has an inherently amazing sense of where the mind fields are and how to play smart in media.
And one of the examples I can think of a number of times is like when we would, you know, early on with magic stuff or whatever, eye tricks, and we'd deal with some very highly critical person, you know, who was giving us some sort of criticism, you know, who was just a pain. And Justin's like, well, you don't know what's going on in their life. You know, I'm like, oh yeah. Like, I'm putting him in through the lens that I'm talking to somebody who's on an equal basis with me. And every time I dig in, I find out they're going through something. I dealt with, you know, a particular sort of, you know, negative, extremely emotionally, it wasn't really grounded in sort of logical kind of criticism from somebody. And then I just sort of just did a Google thing and found out this person was going through some of those horrific things you can imagine. And I just happened to be in their spotlight, and my ability to not react, not say, you know, not like, let me handle this logically, or it doesn't matter, is that any reaction is a reaction. And, you know, people will justify, they will post hoc justify how much of a horrible person they were to you if you give them an equal response or anything they could perceive as that. So I would say that, you know, I owe a tremendous debt to Justin from learning by his example. And I would say that, you know, as far as how do you develop character personality, it starts with goals. I'm not a person that wants to be short. I'm not a person that wants to have that quippy one-liner and put somebody down and sets them in their place. Used to value that. Then as I got older and said, yeah, but that just makes me a jerk. You know, and yeah. I don't really tend to like that kind of humor. When people are like, watch so-and-so totally destroy this, I'm like, so, I don't, that's gross to me.
But by the way, I only have two witty zingers left now that I use. One is, hey man, I don't know what has got your world in such a twist that you're the guy commenting this way on YouTube, but whatever's going on, I hope you get through it. Love, Brian. Like that is the nastiest I get. That and, wait, there's another one.
The dude?
Oh, no. Yeah, well, I'll
okay, often, okay, three, Bryce.
Okay, there's three. The other one is I'll respond, like, my zinger is relevant link, and when you click on it, it's a clip from the Big Lebowski that says, yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man. And then my only other zinger I had it and then I lost it. I'll have it back momentarily. Crap.
That's a really good witty zinger, huh?
No, yeah.
Get back to me in a minute. But
Brian, let me tell you that the thing I've tried to do is zinger. I don't want to do the zinger.
No, but I
don't want to do the because I know that if my gut's to go there, I've already lost. This is Andrew, not Brian. It's very, but I know that I've already lost. My gut is, because one, I have this thing, like, anytime somebody can distract me from what I want to do, and they're certainly like, you know, when somebody says this and you need to respond to something, my kind of thing is just sort of not even take it to any sort of personal, not even have the feeling to need a zinger, you know, which I used to, like.
I think for Brian, and by the way, thank you to both of you. Save some for my
eulogy. We were talking, Justin.
the thing that Brian has to do is when you are managing the YouTube element of it is that if you are only engaging with positive stuff, at times that can almost fan the flames of the negative stuff.
And no, even I'm not saying you don't, like, I had an example of a book review where somebody was, it was a mean kind of thing. They'd said mean things and stuff. And I looked through it. I said, okay, I need to respond because this review was getting a lot of all, because it was this really zingery sort of just rip into me kind of thing. And I'm like, all right, whatever you want to call me personally, that's fine. I'm not going to address that. You don't like me, whatever, that's fine. I did a rebuttal, and all I did was, you know, this book didn't have this. And I just wrote, chapters 22 deals with this. Chapters deals with this. Anytime they said something negative about me, didn't say anything about it. I didn't do any zingers. I said, like, well, here's everything was this. And you could just pull my response out by itself, and it just looked like an outline of what was in the book. And that was my goal, was say, no, this is here, not a you're wrong or what you. I never addressed that person personally even. I just addressed, here's the factual stuff that I can address, and I just put it to that point. And I had I dug in to sort of look to see who this person was, and I realized this person's dealt with a lot of tragedy. And I'm like, I felt better about not even trying to go there. So I had a response, but it was like, No, it was just here's a point here, and not even you're wrong or this. It's like, this isn't this part here, this is a part here. And so that was the most least emotional response I could do.
Well, I think understanding, this is something that I very much picked up from Andrew, is understanding form and function and where you are talking, you know, where you are talking to people is very often 75% of the story, right? So, you know, if you are in a situation that calls for discretion, then you need discretion. If you're calling for something that needs engagement, then you need engagement. Like there's always going to be more, and this is whether or not you're broadcasting your opinion as a personality or you're interacting with people, there's always going to be a lot more to what is going on than you realize, always. And you can know as much as you can, and you can just apply best practices to the rest. But, you know, and this was something that really came in journalism, was that, like, if you don't know the whole story, then you really don't know. If there's 10% that could change all of it, then assume that that 10% is the thing that can change all of it, right? And, you know, I think that that's something where, like, for Brian, having watched his YouTube comments and understanding that, like, there are people that if they get on fire, now all of a sudden they're you know, basically graffitiing all of your videos since the beginning of time, right? That, you know, sometimes just that little touch of, like, hey, I'm a real person, can do all the difference in the world, because now you've become somebody that interacts as opposed to somebody that would never listen to somebody like me. And that's good. But I think for you, Andrew, when you're dealing with a situation where a review, especially in the places where they are the most prominent, where letting that review become the battlefield where people are engaging back and forth and therefore being rewarded by the algorithms for that, can be the most destructive thing that you could possibly do. So beyond even, I mean, if you're going to say, like, okay, there's being a good person and there's not, there's still also just how you manage yourself online and how you can best make yourself the best that you can be.
Well, yeah, this is a case where, because it had the most most likes, it became the number one review.
Yeah.
And so it was like, all right, normally I'm like, I don't care. I just leave, but I'm like, all right, this is the first thing people are going to see. They're going to see this thing, which is factually incorrect. I mean, the personal attacks, whatever, maybe they're true. But, and that was like, all right, normally I just don't respond. I don't respond, but I'm like, well, they're saying things that's not true about what's not in or not in this book or whatever. And so I'm like, well, let me address, just say this is where this is and this is this. So let me just handle it in a totally objective, not address anything on a personal level kind of thing. And that was my way to handle it, was so that you read this and you didn't see me responding to any of the, like, personal attacks, because it was like, whatever, you know. And that was because I said, I don't care. You call me whatever. Like, we've talked about this before. Like, I got a blue check next to my name. If somebody busts my balls, that's fine. That's fine. I'm never going to – I say never, but I – try never to punch down. I never want to punch down. And if somebody has a bad day, wants to yell, whatever. Okay. That's fine.
Although you'd be I love the power of the non sequitur and the power of accepting a lower station. Like, I'm trying to think of any nasty comment anyone can make on anything that I could not respond with, hey, did you see this time a drone chopped up my hand? Like, Like, number one, how do they not click on it if they're really all wound up? And number two, how do they go and look at the stitches and all that stuff? And then, what you got for me now, bro?
Yeah.
You want to talk crap about how I'm a bad person now? Go ahead. Go for it.
You're our bad person, though, Brian. Attacking that drone with your hand like that.
Did you ever see I was the victim of a drone strike?
Were you a victim of the drone strike, Brian?
A drone strike happened.
I mean, did you grab a drone?
What happened to the drone afterwards, Brian?
It got kicked by my wife because retribution.
Be real victim.
Because, how much
does the drone weigh?
It's light enough. It floats in the air for some
reason.
How
old was it? Maybe a year old? Your wife kicked a one-year-old?
Yeah, my wife did kick a one-year-old.
Isn't it the size of a small
puppy?
We had just adopted
this drone. It was only a year old, and my wife kicked it.
Mm. And I heard maybe it had some special needs.
It did have special needs. It needed one very particular type of battery. We only had two of them. And in fact, it just got out of the drone hospital, and then I think we're done here.
Wow. Let me see. Did we have any other questions we wanted to address? But I guess it's the long and Stacey is, I think of who you want to be and try to be that. And I would say that, Stacey, my interactions with you, you've always been a wonderfully positive and nice person. And I feel I'm always glad whenever I see you're in a chat room or you're talking or present or whatever. And so you're one of these people that makes things better. So, and I would say that is what we observe of you.
Put that
Brian
on,
and Justin
put,
agree.
Put, yeah, no, put that on your business no, card. Makes things
I,
better.
I think, and also, she's somebody that's doing more and more podcasting and stuff herself. And yeah. I think the lesson that we can all say until we're blue in the face, because it's always going to be true, is just keep doing it. And if it's bad, congratulations, it's working. Like, just understand the if you watch something that you've done and you are not happy with it, then understand that you now know more about what not to do. And that ultimately is really the X factor to all success.
Yeah. Yep. Get out there, make something, have a plan for how you get better and how you improve. In writing, it's reading books and writing. It's learning to analyze. It's taking things apart. Podcasting, it's listening. It's listening to your own thing. You get to the point where it's extremely hard at first. Then if you're willing to correct your mistakes in the stupid ways you pronounce things or do stuff, eventually you get used to it, and then it can become background noise, and then you can figure out how to make it better, but it doesn't bother you. I had to learn by editing magic videos of my own stupid face.
How quickly do you learn to resent your own voice and stupid head?
Oh, God. Ugh. I had to, just to get a quick aside, so putting together this book, this tome of all of my illusion books, right? Putting all my illusion books and plans together in one tome. When I put this together, the book starts with my first magic book I ever wrote, where I literally did the images in Microsoft in MS Paint. Okay?
Nice.
I did the images in MS Paint. You would not look at this and think that this guy was going to become, you would not read it and think this guy is going to become a writer. Let me show you one of the images. Okay? So there's a dude.
I seriously considered that was moving a body through a CD, right?
Yep. And that went on to become an act, a thing that got put into a lot of magic acts. It became a very popular illusion. But the book, that was the first one. Then the next book, you can see a little bit of it. It's hard to see this on the glare here. You could see an evolution of the illustrations and stuff. I became a slightly better artist, not a hugely better artist, but I started to improve my technique a little bit, and then learning what my strengths and my weaknesses were. By the time I started doing things like, I'm just going to show you one more thing here and get to my point. I started doing this one. By the time I got to there, my illustrations improved considerably. Not great. I'm not a professional illustrator, but I thought I'd be much better at it. And at first, I'm like, do I want to put that earlier stuff in? I'm like, no, let people see this sort of progression. Let them see where I started using crappy MS Paint drawings to then better and better and better, and still trying to figure out the better way to present stuff and do that stuff. Put it out there. I'm not afraid to put it out there because I had a process to make things better. And I feel good about this is where it started. This is really, really crude, but the ideas were there. And then I got better at presenting them. And now I feel, now I do, my own covers and stuff for books like, Orbital, my new sequel to Station Breaker, which is available now. And, I get a lot of compliments from these when I'm, my books are on display next to professionally published books. So you can start somewhere and just get better.
Dude, that is awesome.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for doing this. It's very, very helpful towards me. I appreciate it. If anybody out there has questions about your business, your strategy, whatever you want to do, ask us. We love those. We love those questions. I know that sometimes we give you some hard advice, and it can, but we've had, I think every time we've done it, people have been absolutely grateful and thankful that we've done it. We often feel like, ooh, do we really want to? But, you know, we love you and we want to tell you the truth or the version of it that we see.
Yeah.
Any picks?
Nah, not this week for me.
Yeah, I don't know. My pick is noise canceling headphones because I'm so back good. On the road doing a bunch of stuff this week. So we might have to figure out something also for next week. On the road.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
All right, yeah. Noise canceling headphones. The Bose, I got the Bose in ear.
Noise canceling headphones. They make you go to sleep.
Yeah, the in ear ones are wonderful, and also you can put them on during the day and walk around. It's like everybody's a ninja.
Yes.
You're like, oh, how'd you get there? Oh, I didn't hear you. Where'd you come from?
It's also great because nobody has any expectation of responding to you, so it's like you can half hear someone and just decide, not even gonna act like I have heard that, and then they don't feel bad. You're like, well, he's got one of those crazy noise canceling things.
Oh, Brian. Just a horrible thing to say.
It's like a giant sign that says, me, not you. Just FYI.
I like the here's the guy that lives alone telling the guy who's got a house filled with family and strangers and people all the time, but I'm telling you, Brian, how dare you try to exclude the world like that?
Yeah.
It's like
bug off world
inside my little dome of silence. I love you all. Thank you very much. It's been After.
After.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.